Hey, if you guys want to take a seat just for a couple minutes, I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 5. This is the portion of Revelation that this whole night is based off of. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I love this part, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000. Times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." I love that. And I want to, as I look at this passage, I don't know about you, but one of the first questions that comes to my mind, and maybe many of you who hear that read for one of the first times, you may ask yourself the same question. Why all the worship? What's the big deal going on here? There must be something worthy of all of this singing and all of this partying, because there's a lot going on. So what's the deal? Well, let me back you up and let me point out, I could take months to point out everything in here. I'm just going to take a couple minutes. I want to point out a couple key things in heaven that triggers this insanely awesome worship service going on in heaven. I want to back up to chapter 4. Chapter 4 gives us a picture. It's our first glimpse into the future. And John is shown what's going to happen. And he looks into heaven, and here's what it says. "Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. He was brilliant. He was beautiful. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." And the first thing that I notice that causes worship in heaven is, of course, we see God's presence. And I love that John can't even put it into a physical description of what he's seeing. He doesn't tell us what God looks like. He doesn't tell us what color hair he has or how tall he is or what he actually physically appears as on the throne. All he can say is, "It kind of looked like these colors. And here's what stood out to me. And it resembled this." And he uses the word "like" and "like" and "like." It was like this. I don't know how to get this into words, except here's something that's kind of similar. And he goes on describing, but one thing that stands out to me that I love, it says there was a rainbow around the throne. A rainbow. Go all the way back to Genesis. What does a rainbow stand for? It stands for God's grace holding back punishment when we most deserved it. And here we have, all the way back in Genesis, this story of God annihilating the people on the earth because they had quit obeying him and listening to his voice. And Noah and the animals and his family survived this ark trip. They opened up the door, they begin to get off the ark, and for the first time in all of history, the most beautiful thing it had to be to Noah appeared in the sky. A rainbow. And God said, "Even though they don't listen to me, I will never do this again." And I love that in heaven, we have an eternal reminder that even when we didn't listen, God still didn't judge. He held it back. It's a reminder of his grace. And so I believe that's one of the very first things that triggers this incredible worship in heaven. Let me point out another thing. Down in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Why is that important? Well, because in the Old Testament, if you're studying Revelation, it pays to know the Old Testament pretty well. There's a lot of symbolism. And a really cool thing that they did in the Old Testament was when the priest would walk into the temple, there was a thing called a laver, and it was filled with water. And the idea behind it was wash yourself, purify your hands and your feet before you approach where the presence of God is. Purify yourself. And here we have, before the throne, a sea of glass. It's solid now. There is now forevermore no need to purify ourselves any longer before we approach the presence of God. We have this sea of glass that's reflecting and glorifying God's beauty and brilliance, and yet it doesn't prevent us from getting to God. If anything, it creates the way. And it reminds us, just like that rainbow, we deserved God's judgment, but we don't get it. And now no longer do we have to wash, do we have to purify ourselves to approach God's presence, because he's made the way for us. The rainbow, the sea of glass, and then, of course, my favorite, the center of it all, chapter 5. John continues to look, and as he's gazing at the presence of God, again, he can't even put it into words. He's gazing at the presence of God, trying to describe it in colors and things that he knows that his human mind can understand. As he looks at God's presence, he sees something in God's right hand, his right hand of power. It's a scroll. And we go on to learn in the context that this is the title deed to the earth. It tells who owns earth and its inhabitants and how they will be redeemed. It tells the future. And so a search goes out in heaven. Who is worthy to open this scroll? The search is made in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and not one person is found worthy to open the scroll. And so John is having this vision of heaven, and he begins to weep. No one is found worthy to read the future. What's going to happen? Nobody knows. Finally, the one person is found. And I want to read this to you. Chapter 5, verse 4. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And as I looked, I want to back up here. He's begun to cry. The future is up in the air. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody has been found worthy. He begins to cry. One of the elders approaches him. I can just picture the scene. Puts his hand on his shoulder. Maybe wipes his tears away. Hey, there's no need to cry. He says, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He is victorious. And so he says, behold, he says, look. And then I love what happens. Because as John turns to behold this ferocious, avenging lion with his teeth baring, showing his judgment. I love what he sees. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. A lamb as though it had been slain. Here he has this frightening thought that maybe the future will never happen like he thought. And he begins to give up hope. And he's reassured because there is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which we know to be Jesus Christ. And of course, the lion gives us this image of avenging his enemies. And as he turns to see this incredible sight and hopefully all the enemies annihilated, he sees it in a much different form than he thought. And there's a little tiny lamb. In fact, literally, when you look at the original language, this speaks of a little tiny lamb. It's the same word used for a pet lamb. A little tiny 1-year-old picture it, innocent, cute, spotless lamb. But it's not spotless anymore because it says there was a lamb and it appeared as though it had been slain. I wonder what he's seeing. This lamb that's beat up and bloody, maybe scarred on the neck from where his throat had been slit to shed his blood to sacrifice. I mean, this was an intense scene. He thought he was going to see the lion, but what is he beholding? It's the lamb. It's the lamb who has been slain, who has paid the price for John to even be there, for anyone to be there. So we have this rainbow that reminds us for all of eternity that we didn't deserve to be there. We have this sea of glass that reminds us we used to have to purify ourselves before we came to the presence of God. No longer. He has made the way. And how did he make the way? Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the lamb who is slain. And my favorite part is what happens when he sees this lamb. Then he came, speaking of the lamb, and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. And this is where we go right back into that song that they sang. For you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. But one thing I need to point out to you, something that almost brings me to tears thinking about it. It says that they sing a new song. It's a song that has never been sung before. It's a song that heaven has never heard. And why is that? Because this is a song the angels never had a need of singing. The angels for thousands and maybe millions and billions of years have been worshiping God, but they've never sung this song. Why? Because there was no need. Because they don't know. The angels who are surrounding God's throne at this point do not know what it feels like to be separated from God. They've never been there. From all of, since they were created, they were worshiping the Lord. They've never felt separation. And why is that important? Because they never had to be redeemed. They never had to have a lamb. They never had to have a sacrifice to pay for them to be there. But now, as the church gathers around, and as John beholds the lamb who was slain, it says a new song breaks forth, one that heaven or earth has never heard, because they finally remember, we are redeemed, and here is the lamb who has paid for us to be here, the lamb who was slain. We don't deserve it, but we're here anyway because of this lamb. And I love how it goes on to describe this incredible worship service. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. A better translation would be a myriad times a myriad and thousands of thousands. In other words, an innumerable amount of people times an innumerable amount of people plus thousands of thousands. I did the math. That's a crazy amount of people. This is innumerable. And here they are all from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation singing the exact same lyrics to the exact same songs at the exact same time. I was just listening to you guys. What is there? Maybe 250 people in here. I was blown away. Can you even imagine this? All of us from Africa to Asia to Australia to America singing the same song with the same lyrics at the same time to the same God that we don't deserve to be worshiping. But there we are because of this lamb, because of God's grace that we're constantly reminded of because of this rainbow wrapped around his throne. And tonight, we have the same opportunity to cry out to the God who has redeemed us and thank him for doing so. Tonight in this room, I love it. We are joined by people of all ages, literally. We have 10-year-olds in this room up until, I believe we have someone 96-year-old who has joined us here tonight. How awesome is that? And here we are, hundreds of us, hundreds of us joining in worship to the same God. And if 250 people worshiping blows our minds now, oh man, I can't wait for heaven, because it's going to be incredible. And so here's what the rest of the night holds. We still have over half the night in front of us. And right up here, you'll see four tables. They all have a piece of bread or some broken bread and some juice, some in a glass, some in a bowl. Throughout the rest of the night, you guys will have these tables will be open for you to come up here and take communion. Communion is another reminder, if we didn't have enough already, of why we're here. Because of Jesus' blood, that's it. And I've shared this with a few of you before, but one reason you'll see on these two tables right here, we have a mirror. And I remember one of the first times we set out these mirrors, we just thought it might look cool, and so we set them out. And it meant something more to me the first time I took communion with that mirror there. Because I walked up to the table, and I broke off a little piece of bread. And of course, that represents Jesus' broken body for us. And I dipped it in this juice that represents Jesus' shed blood, the lamb who was slain. And as I was taking it from the glass to my mouth, I happened to glance down. I saw my reflection in the mirror. And right as I did that, a drop of that juice splatted on my face, the reflection in the mirror. And I realized I did that to him. It's because of me that he's there, that I'm here. Because he shed this blood for me. We don't deserve this, and yet he's allowed us here anyway. What can we do besides worship? The Lamb who was slain has paid the price for you to be here today. And we owe him our eternity. And you know what I love? In Revelation chapter 4, it says that the worship continues day and night. And as I got to thinking about this Lamb who is slain, as we gather around and we worship, after we've been there an hour and a half, we'll want to keep worshiping. And after we've been there a day, we'll probably still want to keep worshiping. And after we've been there a whole week, can you even imagine not sleeping for a week, not eating for a week, and still worshiping the same God? After that week, you'll still want to worship him. And come the next month and the next year and the next decade and the next millennium, 1,000 years later, you will still want to worship the same God with more energy than you can even summon from inside of yourself. After 1,000 years, after 1,000,000 years, after 37 trillion years, you will still want to worship that God because he is so worthy. And we will literally spend all of eternity telling him that he's worthy. And when we get to the end of eternity, which isn't even possible, it won't be enough. Because God is worth so much more than we will ever be able to give him. And tonight is your chance to remember what he's done. He died the death that we all deserved. Tonight, some of you may need to give your lives to the Lord for the very first time. Some of you may be experiencing some hardships right now. Some of you didn't come expecting anything like this. You thought it was going to be a concert. And it is. But maybe a little different than you expected. Why? I don't know why you're here. We're glad you're here. And we want to know, we want you to know that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. It would be so wrong of me if you walked out those doors and did not know that Jesus shed his blood for you so that you could spend eternity with him. And if you need to talk to somebody about that, we will have leaders around the room. They're wearing leader badges. We would love to talk with you or pray with you. Maybe find an adult, find somebody that you trust and talk to them. But let me tell you, it doesn't take anything special. There's no code words to get into heaven. It's a simple prayer. The Bible just says that if we will confess our sin, if we will believe in Jesus who died and rose again, then we will be saved. It's that simple. So we're going to continue in worship through song. And we're going to continue in worship tonight through communion, as we remember what Jesus has done for us. And then I hope, my prayer is when we leave tonight, we continue in worship through the way that we live our lives. You guys ready to continue? Let's do this. Would you join me in prayer? God, you are the Lamb who is slain. And these images that we see in heaven are there, I believe, to eternally remind us that we do not deserve to be there. You don't want to remind us of that because you want to give us a guilt trip, though. You want to remind us of it because you just want us to be so thankful for what you've done. And God, tonight we are. As we remember your blood, the way that you allowed your body to be beaten, you laid your body down for us. Jesus, we were the ones who are guilty of driving those nails into your hands and into your feet and pressing that crown of thorns onto your head and pulling out your beard and whipping your back. God, we did that to your Son. Forgive us. And tonight, hear our worship. We cry out to you, the Lamb who is slain. In your name we pray. Amen.